Hey guys, Frank here with another episode of Modern Church Leader. Excited to have this conversation today. I'm here with my new friend, Matt Davis. Matt sounds like he's all over the place, but I know he's not at home today in his studio. But Matt, you got a nice little makeshift setup going on over there.
If you could only see what I have going. I would say it's third world, but it's not quite that bad. I'm a little dramatic. That'd be
going too far.
Yeah.
Well, Matt, it's been a pleasure to kind of get to know you a little bit and catch up before the show. Sounds like you're doing all kinds of things. You can put your QR code up, later on. But one of the things that you're into that I think is fascinating and definitely needed is just helping with like pastoral transition. So you're the president of a group that's been around for a little bit that's helping pastors and church leaders, ministry leaders transition well. And I think that's something I think I was saying earlier, like, I don't know how many times that happens, but with there being 300,000 plus churches in America, I'm sure it happens quite often. I'd love to maybe you can introduce yourself and give people a little bit of your background, how you got into ministry and then how you transitioned and where you're at today. And we can go from there.
Yeah, I love it. So I grew up in Orange County, and I'm actually Jewish, which is really fun for a lot of people. Everybody says, oh, you're Jewish, but you believe in Jesus. And so what do you do with that? All of my Jewish friends would say, you're a Jew, but you were a pastor. And all of the people in the church, they said, you're a pastor, but you're Jewish. And so what do they do with all of that? But this is actually, I'm living the good life. I'm living both sides of this, right? So, we get to do Shabbat and we celebrate all the holidays. You got Christmas and you got Hanukkah, right? So it's like lots of presents for my kids. It's winning, definitely winning. And so grew up really going and being part of a messianic Jewish congregation, and then, was invited to go, to a camp that revolutionized and changed my life. And I realized like, oh man, there's so much out there. I went to Biola University, went to Talbot. And just really felt the call. And there was a good portion of time where I out of camp ministry, became a pastor and was living in the messianic movement on Saturdays and in the church on Sundays. So we were like extra holy. It was really awesome.
That's crazy. So you went to Biola, and like, where on the journey did you become Christian in Jesus? Like And then like, so was it I'm assuming like high school or something. And then you chose Biola to go to college and then went into full-time ministry for a little bit after that.
Yeah. So I grew up in a home with, you know, both my parents are Jewish, and really grew up in a believing home. And so Jesus, but we just called him Yeshua, but it was always really part of my life. And, you know, we'll do a whole nother podcast on this, but, you know, not really ever becoming Christian, because a lot of people, they say, well, when did you convert? And so I didn't actually convert. I'm still Jewish. Like if you were Chinese and you became Christian, you don't stop being Chinese. So I'm still Jewish. Right. And that's important for how we reach out to the Jewish people. But, that call into ministry, funny story. Have you heard of Hume Lake?
Yes.
Totally. Yes. Okay. So I went there one time, my senior year of high school, and, being a senior like guy, I went into the restrooms. I didn't bring soap. I didn't bring shampoo, but thankfully when I was in the shower stall, there was one bar of soap on top of the shower stall. Who knows how long it had been there, but it's soap. It can't get dirty, right? It has to be clean. So soap can't be dirty just by its nature of being soap. And so I used that soap and subsequently broke out into a rash over my entire body, got like 17 shots of Benadryl over the course of the week, lost my girlfriend I went up there with. But by the end of the week, I made it to one chapel. It was on Friday night, and that was enough for the Lord to call me into ministry. I sat there in the back row and they're all, maybe some of you want to go into ministry. And honestly, like I would have done anything at that point, but that was a call. Like I stayed behind and said, like, I want to give my life to the Lord, and really invested myself in studying scripture, owning my faith, and loving to communicate that, and really found, you know, I worked my way through doing children's ministry and family ministry. Then my marriage kind of fell apart once, and then we put it back together. Then they made me the marriage pastor, which was really fantastic. and then became a teaching and executive pastor for a church in Orange County, California.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's a lot of life right there that you just described in like 60 seconds.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Yeah. So, and it's the moral of the story is be careful about the soap that you use.
Yeah. So fast forward, right now you're doing a few things, but this, you know, organization company that you guys have started called Pastoral Transitions, like, talk to us about that. Like, what, why'd you guys create it and what's it all about?
Yeah. So as wonderful as that season of ministry and doing life with people and building a community, I was in that community for 22 years, and through a series of sinful decisions that I made, that came to the surface, you know, it really became apparent that I needed to not be in ministry anymore. And, you know, done enough life, with the folks on the elder board and everything else that, you know, wanted this to go well. And at first I was clawing to hold on to my position and realizing this is just not going to work. But we really tried our best to do this well. And I would say, despite us trying to do it well, there's just a lot of things in the process that just didn't go well, and found myself having to really triage a lot of the parts of my life. What's my next job going to be? How am I going to pay for these bills that didn't stop? You know, my landlord didn't say, "Hey, I know that you lost your job, but you're a pastor. No problem." Right. Right? There's no forgiveness of any of that kind of stuff. And so it was working that way out, and really also realizing the toll that it takes on our family. And realizing, you know, part of our arrangement was our kids were going to school at the church, and the board asking us to stay a part of the church, which was really, it was really hard. But walking in that first time after not being a pastor, after, you know, the letter of my sin was being read, and needing something like a Roman phalanx to be around us as we went from the parking lot into the church service. And then realizing, like, turning around and seeing that my wife was 20 feet behind me, just realizing like how hard it was for me. But there was my family that was really hurting and suffering as well. So, you know, triaging our own counseling and career. And I just need somebody to walk with me in all of this stuff. And there was just tremendous loss. And we had to kind of figure out a lot of that, by finding it on our own, and realizing in that process, the onboarding on ramp to bringing in new staff and new ministry in the church oftentimes feels very holy. It feels very sacred. We're very invested and prayerful. We put a lot of finances into finding the right person. But that off-ramp of how we say goodbye to people doesn't feel very holy and sacred. It feels cold. It feels legal. It feels like the HR department is running that instead of the elder board. Right. And so, you know, really like kind of wrestling with all that, but never had any intention of actually starting a ministry to like try to fix this problem. I was just living it and feeling it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, what got you into starting it? So you went through it. So you have firsthand, you know it just as well as anybody, right? Better than anybody that has never gone through it. And now you started a ministry to do it. Like what prompted that decision?
So there's a guy named Bill Tom, and Bill is he's the man with two first names, but he also is the CEO of Pastoral Transitions. And Bill spent a lifetime in executive search and in helping people in the career space and counseling and all that kind of stuff. And he kept getting these ex-pastors coming into his office and sharing stories of how things didn't go well. And it wasn't even like that people were trying to have it go well. In some cases, it was like very intentionally hard and difficult and malicious. And he said, I would just weep in my office as I heard these stories. And he basically started with this, like, we've got to do this better. the church has to do this better. And so he started talking to friends and researching, is there anything out there that can help leadership in the church to be able to do these transitions with grace? And he actually ran into one of the elders who was on the board during my transition. He said, hey, I think you should talk to this guy, Matt. He went through this process. I know it was really hard, but he's actually still alive today and he can tell you about it. And so we connected. So I live to tell, I'm a survivor. But we connected, and we connected on a heart level and missionally just thought like, this needs to happen. And we have a third person part of our team who is a licensed marriage and family therapist. And he was a pastor's kid. So we're all approaching this really from a heart level to really bring healing to the church and help the church do this better.
Right. Right. How many times, like how often, like when you talk about transitions, I'm sure there's the good, the bad, and the ugly, but like how often does it happen every year? Like how big of a need is it?
So the stat is somewhere around 20,000 pastors every single year will leave their posts in the ministry. And I think everybody knows somebody who has come out of it. One of the things that I get to do today is help churches and nonprofits in some of like thinking through how do we do some of these pieces. But I've met lots of people in the nonprofit world who are ex-pastors. And if you talk to an ex-pastor, they have a story. And so what we're trying to do is change how that story goes. I'll never forget. And I think it matters. I think the reason this matters is because our churches, our people in the church, and the world is watching how we do this in particular. I'll never forget one of those Sundays. It's about 2 months after everything had kind of blown up in our lives. And there was a guy who came up to me, part of the church. He came up to me and he said, hey, pastor, even though I wasn't a pastor anymore, but he said, hey, pastor, he said, I don't know what you did, but I'm sure as hell glad that the elder board doesn't know what I've done because they would have kicked me out a long time ago. And that's when I realized like, the people are watching. And depending on how we treat one another, I think our people go into one of two areas. They either go into protection mode where they hide and they don't come back up for air. They don't come to church. They just say, I see how they're treating that person. And if they only knew my sinfulness, if they only knew my stuff. Or the other way that we go is performance. And now we have to like try to double down on how we're living. And so what does it look like to actually create something that is healthy, that engenders honesty, but hey, we're going to love you no matter what you've done and help move you into this next space.
It's beautiful. And it's like intention. Like what are some of the common like challenges, right? Like you went through it and now that you've also been helping and seen it a lot, like what are some of the main challenges that outgoing pastors are facing as they're leaving?
Yeah. So you know, there's first of all, and it depends on what the reason is for their going, right? So, you know, sometimes we have like this little four square box here of, you know, these transitions where it's open, where, you know, the leadership knows and the pastor knows and like, hey, in a couple of years, I'm going to want to step out, right? And everybody's on the same page. But then there's sometimes where the pastor's thinking about it and it's very open to them, but the elder board doesn't know. And the part that we really kind of see a lot and that we're trying to bring healing to is this box that is the elder board knows, the leadership knows that it's time and they're about to blindside the pastor, right? So there's it's not just a loss of a job, it's a loss of community. And it's not just like, right. You know, if I'm a construction worker, I lose my job. Well, it just impacts me on a relational level. It doesn't necessarily impact my spouse's community, my kids' community. A lot of times a pastor, they're going to have to find another job at another church if that's what their calling is for the next season. So it's really an upheaval and uprooting for everybody in the family. I think a lot of people don't know that pastors, for the most part, they don't get unemployment checks, right? Going for the next, you know, chunk of time. And on average, it takes a pastor about a year to find their next position, whatever that might be. So there's these relational aspects. There's a shame aspect that could be like, I remember needing to like drive 20 miles to another city so that I wouldn't like have to see people in Trader Joe's that it was awkward for them and it was awkward for me. There's just this, this piece that it took a while to shed that piece and remember who I am in the Lord. But, you know, those are some of those pieces. And obviously like finances is one of those that hits you square in the face. And a lot of pastors that we get to talk to will say, it feels like the clock is ticking. Like I have 2 months of severance and I'm not sure if you heard this, but pastors don't get a ton of money. So that clock feels like it's ticking even faster. And oftentimes churches are not incredibly generous with severance packages. So those are types of things that we're trying to work with them on that.
Right. Yeah, no, I can only imagine. I mean, it makes sense when you're like, look, there's losing a job, right? For your just everybody that's working and you lose a job, and that's a hard thing to have happen all by itself. But when your job is also tied to your community and your family and your kids and your best friends and people you've been doing life with for, you know, who knows, 5, 10, 20 years, like you wrap all that together and that's tough. Like that, I don't know. That's compounding the whole thing pretty massively. Does the church also have some challenges, like the actual congregation, the people that have been, you know, that they've been with this pastor for some period of time? Like, are there things that, you know, the church needs help with too?
Yeah, they're in all of these. And when you're looking at succession, right, that's essentially what we're talking about. This is succession. Oftentimes what the church is focusing on is they're asking the question, what is next for us? And there's oftentimes, you know, there's a connection. Hopefully we love our pastors and the people who are pouring into us spiritually. And so when that person is moving on, now there's this like insecurity of like, well, who's going to teach us next? And what's that process going to be like? And are we going to bring in a company to help us with funding?
And it's also not always bad, right? I should caveat this with, it's not necessarily always that somebody's being transitioned because something went wrong. Right. It's like sometimes the pastor's retiring and it's just time to move on. And that's a transition too.
Yes.
That is, you know, different, but still, right? Like you're going through it and the church might be maybe, yeah, it's different, but it's a transition. So it's just another type of transition.
Yeah. And so there's a connection, there's a love relationship and there's a sadness. Sometimes if the church feels like it was unjust, if it wasn't explained well, or there's just a little bit that's left out and they're filling in the blanks with some of that communication, some people are going to want to like grab the torches, right? And like, we're going to go stomp in and we want to address the elders, or we're just going to get up and leave. And so we're even looking at more of a longitudinal study of what is not just what's the church going through emotionally and spiritually, but there's even like a financial aspect and elders are oftentimes concerned as the stewards of the church. Is this transition going to cause people to leave the church? And how do we make sure that we're sustaining in a time period when, especially like post-COVID, the numbers for churches are going down? Barna would say that 30% of people through COVID have left the church and they're not coming back. Mm-hmm. So there's all of these complications. And now we're sitting here and people are forecasting out the economics of this year. And is there going to be a recession? And churches are just hanging on. So, you know, how do we actually do this well and bless somebody on their way out if we just as a church body can't afford to keep them on?
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's complicated. I guess all of this is a complicated thing. So like, what does it look like to do it well? Whether it's because of, you know, something kind of went wrong, or it's on the positive side of, you know, this, it's just time for this pastor to retire, or maybe they're going to help with another church somewhere, you know, whatever it might be. But how do churches do it well? What are some of the like best practices or things you've seen done that make this go well?
Yeah, I think, you know, and I can't help this. This is my like old pastor life coming through. We love alliteration, right? So we need to have consistency and we need to have clarity and we need to have good communication, right? So that we are saying all the same things to the pastor. We don't want to say, hey, this is why we're letting you go, but then we go somewhere else and we tell somebody else, this is, I know we told everybody this, but this is the real reason. Like those are the things that will sink and undermine the entire process. Mm-hmm. Prayerfully, we want to consider, like, what does this look like? And how do we be very honest while still respecting, right? Like, so it depends on the situation, that there may need to be an element of privacy, but can we share as much as possible to be able to honor this person when we are actually bringing them up front and saying, hey, this is a brother or this is a sister in the Lord. They've given this much time to this community and we want to honor them and thank them for following God in leading us as a community. And so we want to send them out well. And so sometimes it's even just the church coming alongside and they're able to give gifts or celebrate or write notes and have a party and to really just honor, you know, because you know that scene where we bring in the new person, everybody's around them and hands right. are laid and we're praying and we're thanking God for all of that. But that scenario where we are letting people go, it's not always like that. Sometimes right. it is, and it's fantastic, but it's that quiet, like, here's the back door. Let me show you the way. So when we can not only be asking, hey, here's the vision for what's next for the church, but also we want to let you know that we love this person. And we're asking the question, by working with Pastoral Transitions, we're asking the question, what's next for this outgoing pastor and their family?
Right.
And we want to show you that we care about them as well. No matter what they've done, we want to care for
right.
them.
Right, right. And how do you guys, you know, like, how do pastors find you? And then how do you guys come along and help, you know, in all of this? Are you helping the church and the elders and the pastor? Or are you mostly just working with pastors as they're making a transition? Like, what's it look like for you guys?
I say that our ministry is like the refrigerator magnet that you have. On my refrigerator at my house, we have a magnet for our plumber. And I don't ever use it, ever, except for like a week ago, we're about ready to go on a trip. And all of a sudden I hear water pouring down in my master bedroom closet. And I look up
yeah.
and water is literally pouring through the light fixture and realizing that my daughter's bathroom is right above. Like, we had a massive leak. Where's the first place I went?
Yeah.
I went to the magnet on the refrigerator and I said, like, we've got a problem. So we are not that group that you're going to run into all of the time. But when you need us, you need us. And by the way, if you want a magnet, I have a Pastoral Transitions magnet for you. We do. Because look, that is the thing. Like, you, most of the time, everything's fine and the plumbing's working, the toilet flushes, and, you know, life is good. But when it's not, that's when you need something and you need it quickly. And how do you get that help? So that's really the space. So we need to show up in these places where, you know, we're talking to executive pastors, we're talking to senior pastors, we're talking to people who are in churches because they go to churches and this is where the situation lies. But we're not just, we want this to be the case for the church, but we want for the Big C church, we want for the kingdom. So we're working with nonprofits, we're working with missions agencies, we're working with Christian higher education. If you mm-hmm. are a Christian business owner and you want to do this well, I think that it's right. incumbent upon us as believers to love one another, right? This is how they will know that we are Christians, that we follow Jesus. It's how we love each other, and especially in these times. So
right.
We're showing up. And so though we all, like myself and Bill and Noe and Rebecca, who's on our team, we bring together years of experience in our own different areas and fields. We're a little bit right. newer. So we've been going for the last year. So we're showing up in these places and just saying, hey, this is an issue. And the biggest thing that we're doing is, you know, every time you have a company or a ministry, you want really cool, like, swag and merch. But we talked about this and had this meeting, like, all right, so if we got a shirt or a hat that said Pastoral Transitions, and we gave it to all of the elders of the churches, and they started wearing that around the church, that's not going to go well, right? It's the worst marketing choice ever, right? So nobody's going to wear that shirt. But what we did do is we have a concept. It's here. It's on my backpack. Can you see it there?
Yep.
All right. It says X or multiply, not divide. And so this is our thing, is the call for us the Great Commission, Matthew 28, is to go out and make disciples. Jesus said, I want you to go out and I want you to multiply the church. But unfortunately, when we don't do this well, what it leads to is we divide the church. And so, so not only can you go to multiplynotdivide.com, and that will take you to our website, but it's a way for us to, it's really cool. We have a hat and all the other fun stuff, but it's stirred conversation because even culturally beyond the church, in our country, in our world, we have division. So people know, they know division, and the church, Christians, we have to do this better.
Right.
If we're going to be light, we have to do it better. We have to do it differently. And so that's really been our call as we're going out. And so that's how we show up in some of these spaces. And it's been cool to have conversations like with people at Home Depot and standing in line, like, hey, what's with the math problem on your hat? It's like, well, there's a problem. Let me talk to you about it.
Let me tell you, man, that's awesome. You guys are doing some great work. And I mean, I can only imagine like being a year in, I'm sure it's a lot getting off the ground, even figuring out how do you help people know about what you do and it not be like a negative thing with the swag and whatnot. Like, but it happens so much, you know, and again, not all bad. Some of this conversation feels like it can be just like bad, but it's not. It's like people are just making transition. And sometimes it's just purely retiring and helping that go well. And, but having a group that's like specializing in this for churches, so there can be like shared experience and knowledge happening all over the church, all over the world. Like that's cool to me, because otherwise you get stuck in your own little spot and you're trying to figure it out and it might be the first time. So you have no experience to draw on to do it well. You guys can kind of come along and help with that. So, love that.
We love it. And the thing that I love most is being able to sit with a pastor and say, hey, we have a comprehensive suite. And really what we're offering is we help walk with them over a period of 6 months in the areas of career, coaching, and counseling. And so we're helping them with their LinkedIn and like building out their resume and taking assessments. We're walking with them and pair them with another pastoral coach who's been through it. We help them with financial coaching and life and leadership coaching. And then we set them up with counseling, whether it's individually for their marriage or for their family. So we're walking through and have a comprehensive suite of things and partnerships that we're working with and some really amazing networks and groups that we get to partner with in bringing that help to the church and to the outgoing pastors and their families.
Yeah, love that. Love that. Where, just as we kind of wrap up here, a few quick questions. First, where do folks go? Like, what's the website people can go to check you guys out?
PastoralTransitions.com.
Or multiplynotdivide.com.
Yeah, whatever's easier to remember. Yeah, you'll totally find us at both of those. So
That's too good. Okay, couple other ones, just more rapid fire about you, or answer them however you want. But what's a book you think everybody should read?
Oh, wow, that's good. You know, it's like an oldie but goodie for me is Henry Nouwen, In the Name of Jesus. And when he talks about even just leadership and the temptation to be instantly popular or ultimately respected. But the one thing that he really dives into is our identity and how the enemy would love to get us to believe the lies that we are. I am what I do. I am what I have. And I am what others say about me. And especially in those transition points, that is certainly challenged. And that whisper from the enemy becomes a megaphone.
Yeah. Yeah. Love that. Okay. Second one. What's a podcast that you're listening to right now?
So I told you I'm Jewish. So I love stuff with like that, you know, gets wisdom from old dead rabbis. So there's a, so I'll plug, I have a podcast called the Jewish Road Podcast, which I listen to all the time, okay, especially as we're editing, but BMA podcast. I'm not sure if you've heard of that. Marty Solomon.
I've heard of that one and I've listened to it. I have a bunch of friends that have listened to like every episode and they like love it. It's Marty Solomon, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So if you like what he's doing, then you'll, it's me and our podcast, the Jewish Road Podcast, is my dad and I. And so we tell a couple of jokes and then we dive into some deep stuff, but love podcasts and listen to them all the time.
Love it. Love it, man. Well, this has been awesome, dude. Thanks for coming on the show. We'll make sure to spread the word. This has been great.
Thank you. Good talking.
Yeah. Thanks, guys, for joining. Thanks for listening. We will catch you next week on another episode of Modern Church Leader. See ya.